Pod closed. Connect.
What's up?
What's that? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just didn't.
I assume that my AirPods sound better than my stupid fucking condenser mic on here.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Good. Money well spent. The fucking Atmos shit on this thing is bizarre how well it works.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's. Have I talked to you about it?
No.
So, do you know what the gimmick is with it?
Well, is it like getting your hair cut at Mr. Lincoln's Theater?
Actually, more crazy advanced than that. Wow. So what happens is, if you're watching it, as of right now, this feature only works with iPhones and iPads, but it's going to work with the Apple TV soon.
Uh-huh.
So it totally creates a surround field around you, right?
Right.
So if I'm watching Endgame or something with Atmos on it, mm-hmm. there's a visual for this, and I'm looking at the screen, mm-hmm. and I turn my head. Totally seamless, cannot, no latency or anything like that. So if the dialogue is hitting me in the bridge of my nose and I turn it, the dialogue shifts over to my left ear.
That's fucked up.
And the, so like, yeah, so you could turn around. So there, so there's like a near field communication chip in your phone, which allows the AirPods to know where in space your phone is. It also works the other way. So if I move the phone over here, all the sound shifts over to my other ear and stuff like that. So they figured out there's not a that same sort of chip in your Apple TV. And if there was, you know, your Apple TV might be off to the side or whatever. The tracking, the motion trackers in your AirPods will know when you're staring at the screen because your head steadies. And that becomes the central point. And it configures to that and will constantly adjust that. So it knows when you're staring at the screen because of your head position. And then we'll calibrate the Atmos all around you. And then the whole thing, and I don't know how the science works and shit like that, but it really truly feels like surround sound. Like it sounds like shit's behind you and in front of you and stuff like that. So that was my concession of when I sold the house of not having, you know, I had like the in-ceiling speakers and the in-wall speakers and all that sort of shit. I was like, I'll just grab a pair of AirPods and, just do surround sound that way.
That's pretty cool.
It's all you need is some AirPods and some groundbreaking science.
Yes.
But like you, technology. I mean, it would be weird like if I came over and watched something.
Totally. Totally. But I am the only adult in my house. So right. I am totally okay with that.
Would it work if like your friend was there with their AirPods as well?
I think so because you can connect to multiple, like I can cast to multiple speakers in the house at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that if I had a second set of iPod, I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that that would be the case.
Right. Sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting. And then just the straight Atmos, like, which is what all the music has, can be on any headphones or whatever. It doesn't track your motion and shit like that, but listening to all those Atmos albums has been also fucking crazy. I have listened to Abbey Road. You know, you say thousands of times, and it's like, oh, that's a lot of times. Have you really done that? But I probably listened to Abbey Road thousands of times in all the different mixes and shit. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the Atmos version. And first of all, it's bizarre because it's like, it manages to be well-balanced and sound as evenly distributed as like a traditional stereo version, but there's also space too. Like you could pick out like, oh, that's coming from over here and that's coming from over there, but it isn't necessarily like traditional stereo separation. And I just fucking heard shit that I had never heard before. Like, just like, oh, that's a little bit louder in this. So this is different. Like, there was just straight up, like, guitar shit and John Lennon talking and shit that I've never, ever, ever heard before, ever. It's crazy.
Like, it was like hearing it for the first time.
It was. But it wasn't like, oh, this is like the love mixes, or which I love, but where it's like, oh, this is a different mix. Like, it still sounded as balanced as the 50th anniversary edition, which came out 2 years ago, but just there's more depth.
And with it, you can feel like Paul is dead a little behind me and to the right of me.
Yes, he's definitely lurking. The dead beetle I need is on my shoulder, like over here.
I'm not a big fan of AirPods. I'm wearing my regular old thingies today, my
earbuds,
corded earbuds, which I also do not like wearing at all. I'm just doing it for the recording. But is it something that this is going to be transferred over to, like, Beats?
Beats, yeah, has the same chip in it, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, pairing and stuff like that. I'm not sure about the tracking, because not all AirPods, like, these are the AirPod Pros.
Oh.
They do it. I'm not too sure if across the Beats line. I'm just, full disclosure, I'm just telling you what it is. It's like, yeah, I'll fucking AirPods do it. You go out and buy some. It's like,
are you saying Dr. Dre isn't a professional?
He's a doctor.
He's intern Dre.
I think just that designation makes him professional enough.
Right.
He doesn't need anything more than that.
You were talking about Atmos, and I was thinking, like, isn't that a character or an object from Barbarella? But that's
you're the one that would know.
That's the only one that would know. It's Matmos. It was the Matmos was like, I think it's like a, I'm not going to look it up. I looked up what it's called. It's Matmos. And if I remember correctly, it's like a sentient pit of goo that Barbarella probably has to get off or something. Knowing the rest of the film.
I've seen like 20 minutes of Barbarella and it's like weird enough to be entertained. Like it's the weird shit that I like, yeah. But like, I've never wanted to, like, oh, I'm going to drop the disc in and be consumed by it. So.
Make a conscious choice to watch Barbarella.
Yeah, there's like babies with teeth and she's on a plexiglass thing. And
there's a guy, like a blind angel. And some guy plugs it into a machine that she breaks because she's so insatiable.
Oh, is it like the Orgasmatron or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. It's pretty out there. It's pretty wacky.
So there was this scandal in our neighborhood when I was growing up where don't eat fucking circus peanut. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Don't eat that. God damn it, my teeth hurt just looking at you. There was a scandal in our neighborhood when I was growing up because a mom rounded up all the kids, like kindergarten age kids, and went down to the local, like, movie twin or whatever it was and took the kids to see Barbarella.
What?
And it was always it was always like whispered in hushed tones around the house about like that mother. Oh my God, that mother. She was, don't do it, Ralph. Don't eat another one. God damn it. Don't.
Circus peanuts.
Anyway, turns out
okay.
That post Star Wars, when everybody was thirsty for space sci-fi, they went back to Barbarella and edited it to like a more family friendly PG version.
Oh,
and I'd only discovered that within the past couple of years. It's like, oh, that mom wasn't so bad after all. Why'd my mom give her shit? Like, but still, if you said like, oh, the mom took all the kids to see Behind the Green Door, like that seems scandalous. But it turns out like, no, this is the family friendly Behind the Green Door or Deep Throat or whatever.
I imagine that the family friendly cut of Barbarella has the same runtime as the family-friendly cut of Behind the Green Door.
Probably.
And also, when you were telling that story about the mom rounding up all the kids and taking them to the movie theater, all I could think was, well, there's no way she took them to see Barbarella. That's not where this is going. I wonder how Barbarella comes into this story. And lo and behold.
Yeah, totally.
I only know Behind the Green Door from Kentucky Fried Movie.
Is it? It's referenced,
yeah,
by name.
There's an episode of SCTV where it's like it's an Entertainment Tonight knockoff, and Eugene Levy is like the kind of weird, smarmy, super lecherous host, and they're like, "Boy, casting decisions in Hollywood. Can you imagine Citizen Kane without Orson Welles, or Behind the Green Door without Marilyn Chambers?" Which prompted me to ask, what's behind the green door? And then I also kind of got in trouble at work one time because they were directing this is, I was working a Fantasmic shift in the 90s, and somebody was like, oh yeah, go ahead and go over here and take this and move it behind the green door. And like, I started laughing, and it's like, then I explained why I was laughing, and that's inappropriate to do in the workplace.
That's where it went wrong.
To talk openly about pornography.
Were you talking about the door? Were you talking about the doors under the Pirates Bridge?
No.
I think those are green.
They are like a dark green. No, between Stage Door and the old Casa de Fritos by Riverbell Terrace, there are floodgate doors that are green.
Yeah.
I've never seen them because they're green, and that's what you don't look at, apparently.
Oh, I thought it was like, God, is Ben colorblind and we never knew it?
No. I'm guessing they're not the go away green that
we're going to dive into some racially insensitive content here, but this was the floodgate doors that had the advertisement for loud bang fireworks. Loud Bang being a character in multiple Disney theme parks as the Chinese immigrant who came to the United States to open up a firework factory, and his name was Loud Bang. And now that has been expunged from the parks, thankfully.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw something like that in DCA for
yes,
a while.
Yes, there's also Loud Bangs. It's the same Loud Bang.
It was like a coffee cart. It's
yeah. It was like a pin trading cart.
I went on Pirates of the Caribbean a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Caribbean.
We discussed this in our weekly call that we all say Caribbean when we're referring to the island, but all universally say Caribbean when we're talking about the ride.
Exactly.
We have no idea why.
And I noticed Loud Bang was removed from the auction.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
That was probably a good call.
I always just looked at that dude like, how are you still here?
Oh, that's great. I know who you're talking about. And
yeah, that's probably for the best. Move in the right direction, probably. Yeah. So someone told you to move something. I literally used the phrase behind the green door.
And then I laughed, and then I felt obligated to tell people.
That, and then you said, well, you see, this...
And man, was, she takes it?
She was pretty feeling...
cock? You wouldn't believe this thing.
That, Ryan, that's unprofessional. Now go deep throat some of those churros for me. And we have to put the devil and Miss Jones over there.
Ah, delicious.
Who do we have scheduled for Dallas?
Recording in progress.
Gotcha. That is a different
someone
one.
Someone should do a podcast.
Yeah. It all sounds the same to me.
Recording in progress?
All computer voices sound the same to me.
That should be the name of a podcast. This meeting is being recorded. That should be...
Probably. There's like over 2 million podcasts. I'm sure there's one.
Yep. It's a very crowded field. You're right.
But you know what? There's only one Darmalars.
That's
us.
Ben.
That's us.
And I'm Ralph. Ben. That's Ralph, and that's Ryan.
That's right. You're Ben.
Sorry if there's a whooshing sound by my mic. There's a fly. Or a little
bug. Oh, yeah. I should probably turn off my fan.
Yeah, they go. We're going there to. Goes. We're instead of saying anything, we're keeping the show going. Ralph and I froze and just watched. I wonder how this is going to play out.
And he closes the door.
The suspense.
He closes and his eyes open.
So we're here to talk about Sweet Tooth, but I guess I don't know if we've talked about anything else. Ralph and I both saw Black Widow.
Right.
Bam Lam.
And I think Ralph was not super positive on it.
I think my whole thing is my main issue is why wasn't this made in 2017?
It would have fit in great.
And it really gave me nothing new other than new characters, which I very much liked. And that's
yes.
pretty much it.
I get it. I am two episodes behind on Loki as of today. Today is the season finale.
Right.
So I'm not caught up on that. But
all right, I'm going to watch it after we're done here.
Cool.
Yeah, I have to figure out how I'm going to squeeze that in. I was like up at 11:58. And like super fell asleep.
you were waiting for it and you didn't make it
because I need to watch it by myself because Hannah is two episodes behind and I didn't want to get spoiled and we're gonna watch Loki, I think, tomorrow night, and Black Widow on Friday, and Space Jam on Saturday. Well, that she's a like, child, Rob. Ralph is making a
I know, but you need to. You, I mean, you should like. There's certain things that parents could, you know, not show their children.
You're asking them to use parental discretion.
Yeah, like
is it
like,
not appropriate for kids, or is it just shitty, and you don't think she should be exposed to shitty films?
The latter.
Did you? Well, I was never a big Space Jam guy. I think it was like maybe a bit past my time for that to appeal to me. Yeah,
it was directed by Joe Pitka.
Right,
that was a big thing. Who directed the "Free as a Bird" video by the Beatles, which is excellent.
Yes, I really like that video.
I really do too. But apparently. I may have sent you this article, Ralph. Sorry, Ben.
I probably didn't read it.
I can send it to you, too. But it's a... Yeah, you probably didn't. That's fine. And I understand that. I understand that I just spam people with shit all day long. But about an animator who was called in at the last minute to save Space Jam because of Joe Pitka's complete incompetence. One of the things that he was incompetent about is he would have guys in head-to-toe... you know, green lycra, right, or whatever, spandex, on a green screen basketball court with Michael Jordan, right? And
that's a classic bit.
And Michael Jordan's doing his Michael Jordan shit, and of course, you know, the green spandex people cross in front of Michael Jordan, get between Michael Jordan and the camera, and one of the animators who had worked on Roger Rabbit says, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Don't worry, we'll replace that guy with Tweety Bird." To which the animator said, "Well, what about the other 6 feet that are being obstructed by the giant human that is standing in front of Michael Jordan? Like, you could put Tweety Bird, who is 3 inches, but what about the rest of Michael Jordan that's being obstructed?" And Joe Pitka did not understand him and said they would fix it in post, and you were an idiot for trying to correct him. And apparently that's what the entire shoot was.
Oh,
was Joe Pitka, according to this animator.
That's the goss.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, this was, what, 1996?
Yes.
And, I mean, I feel like now in the world of Photoshop, a lot of people would understand that better than they did back then. But still, I mean,
pretty basic. Roger Rabbit had already happened.
They did.
Mary Poppins
like 9 years prior. Or 8 years prior, yeah.
Was it Alice? All those Alice comedies by Walt Disney or Coco the Clown were from the 20s. Like, the concept was not
like you have to understand what a plate is and how you need.
Or maybe you don't. Apparently, you don't.
So if I'm a 6 foot tall guy in green spandex standing in front of Michael Jordan, and I know I'm going to replace it with Tweety Bird, who is only a few inches high, you have to think, how am I going to replace the rest of what is blocking Michael Jordan?
Like, in his head, he's not thinking of it in terms of visuals. Like, I'm going to put Tweety Bird here. He's thinking, okay, that guy will be gone because Tweety Bird will replace him.
Michael Jordan is also gone in that shot, too. So
that's he thinks crazy. You can delete the green guys.
Yeah, it's
and
like
Michael
it's
Jordan like, will magically appear in the lens
from behind it. Yeah, from behind the green. That's
but then when somebody tells you something like a professional man. Behind right. the green man, exactly, starring Marilyn Chambers. when somebody says that to you, somebody who's worked on Roger Rabbit and says, "I'm here to share my expert advice," you're a moron,
right?
To like through the entire production, dismiss him or not put it together or not go home that night as you're drifting off to sleep, think, "Oh my god, I fucked this up."
Yeah, exactly. So we've got two problems here. We've got his like just fundamental block, a mental block from understanding from the first place, and yes. On top of that, like whatever it is, the arrogance or the
hubris.
Yeah, the hubris to not pay attention and let people help you.
Yes, 100%. I think that may have been the last big project he did. Joe Pitka, Free as a Bird video is still pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that song.
I like it. I like it for what it represents. I don't know if it's there's so much that hangs on that song.
Did Jeff Lynne produce
it? Yes, Jeff Lynne was the producer on that.
Is this we're talking about Led Zeppelin, right?
What?
So from Ryan, I get a boo, and from Ralph, it's just like, I don't even, that was such a stretch that I don't even get it. I was talking about Freebird.
That's actually not Led Zeppelin.
Oh boy, that's how bad I am. Wait, let me guess again. Give me a second.
Okay,
Freebird. It's not by Zeppelin, so no. It's by
the Dr. other one.
The Rolling Stones. I don't know.
Leonard Skinner. Leonard Skinner is who we're looking for. That would explain on the board.
That would explain why they've never played it at all the Zeppelin concerts I've gone to.
What? Well, there's probably people in the crowd yelling "Freebird" anyway.
Right. Just
if,
fit it in.
If a 90s comedy is to lead me to believe anything.
Right. Right.
I like Jeff Lynne. Yes. I like the Beatles.
It does sound like an ELO song.
It does. And,
more like an ELO song than the Beatles song.
But that's fine.
And I want to say John Lennon said in the 70s that people should listen to ELO because that's what the Beatles would sound like in the 70s. So, like, generally speaking, he had John's blessing from beyond the grave, and then George and Jeff Lynne obviously are friends. They're Wilburys together.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty good pedigree.
Yeah, not too shabby. It does not sound like a Beatles song, though. But I love it.
But it's got, I mean, their voices.
Yes.
That must have been crazy for you, Ryan, right? Like, how...
yes.
I mean,
sorry, please.
It came out... When did it come out?
1996.
So you
95, 96.
You've been into the Beatles since...
The same year Space Jam.
I was born. Yes, Joe Pitka. It all comes together.
So to spend 20 years and you're like, well, I know all the songs. Those are all of them. There are no more songs. And then here's a song.
It was great. And then all those albums, it was all... Even though I had like bootlegs and shit like that, like it was amazing. It was been, an amazing time. I actually took... It seems so stupid now. I took time off of work.
It was
with the television.
It was a big deal because it was like played throughout the week, and it was on PBS or something.
No, it was on ABC.
Yeah, and it was like advertising, like we're going to show Beatles anthology documentary or whatever, and it was like every night of the week. And I remember like stopping and watching it. And there was two Beatles songs, right, that came from that.
Yes, "Free as a Bird" was one, and then "Real Love" was the second one. And then there was a third
Freeze
one.
"Freeze
a
Bird" is better, right?
I think "Real Love" is a better song. It was a more complete song. But, and this is something I found out just recently, is that there was a third song planned for them to work on. It was identified and everything. Because "Free as a Bird" was less complete, the remaining three Beatles collaborated more and contributed more and got it done. When "Real Love" came out, which was actually a previous release song, I think, on "Milk and Honey," which is a post-death release song, on I think the "Milk and Honey" album. There was less to contribute; it was more like they were just adding a backing band to the thing. And because of that, George was like, "I don't want to do this again." That wasn't as fulfilling as the first one, so they ultimately did not do the third song.
Interesting.
Was it? You can edit all of this out.
No, I'm interested, but
this is my on spectrum deep obsession and my lack of realization on anybody's like true interest in what I'm talking about.
Your info dump,
yes,
as they say.
Yes. So, what show are we watching?
We're watching this television show called Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth.
Detroiters.
I'm watching Detroiters for like the sixth time. It's so good, and I hate that. People don't watch it.
This is the first I've heard you talk about this.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. Like, it's Comedy Central, so you have to have a stupid thing to watch it.
It's on Pluto.
Have you been watching it? Can you watch it, like, on demand, or they just show up
randomly? I don't know if you can watch it on demand, but I've definitely seen it on Pluto.
Okay.
And I think Comedy Central is on Paramount Plus now. I don't know if that particular show's there.
But I just bought it. I bought it on iTunes.
That'll do it.
It's I think they're like 10 episodes a season, and it's $20 bucks. But like, if you can't wait for, I think you should leave season 3, which is going to be a while, I'm sure.
Right.
I mean, it's $20 bucks.
Because it stars Tim Robinson, and it's written by him, or?
It's Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson, who plays the Buff Boys.
Yeah, he's the MC for the Buff Boys, and he's the MC for the baby competition, too. He's the one that recruits Scrooge to fight the Bonies.
Yes. I can't recommend it enough. I mean, for a box of Campitelli cookies, you will watch it over and over again. That's my thing. You will love it. You will absolutely love it. I like it more than I Think You Should Leave. It's nice because it's a sitcom and it has a structure to it. And the two guys together are pretty phenomenal. So I think if you go to Comedy Central's app, they have the first two episodes for free. If you want to test the waters. But
okay, I don't think those two are in a sketch together.
They aren't.
And I Think You Should Leave. That's interesting.
They're like best friends in real life. It's okay. Dude, it's a ton of fun.
That's gotta be that's gotta be a good vibe, good energy.
Yeah. For my friend Kevin's birthday, I bought him, I gifted it from iTunes to him because I told him you should watch it. And he doesn't, and he doesn't. And I'm like, you got to watch it. So for his birthday, I gifted it to him. He ended up watching like the first season in like 2 days and then purchased the second season.
So,
it's such a good show.
The show itself won him over. Like all you had to do was get him to watch it. And then the show took over.
Yeah.
Show did the rest.
So yeah, I recommend if you have the Comedy Central app, I know it's on Apple TV. I think the first two episodes are free. Just watch them. You'll love them.
Oh, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of watching it.
You better watch it.
It's $5 to watch it and $15 to touch it. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Episode 6?
Episode 6, Stranger Danger on a Train.
Right.
Now, I watched it last night. Once, just watching it style, and I didn't really get a chance to do notes, but I've got a couple of bullet points and stuff.
Okay. I watched right before we sat down and recorded a half hour ago.
And so you guys are fresh, ready to talk?
Yep.
I see there's basically three storylines right now.
Yes.
You know, with the Sings, we're with Gus, and we're with the Preserve.
Right. And it looks like we are setting the three storylines up for
meeting
the finale, essentially.
Yeah, because
we have two more episodes.
Almost all of the characters are in motion at the end of the episode.
Right.
Yes. Amy staying behind at the Preserve, but Pigtail, who we find out her name is Wendy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Wendy and the hybrid kids are moving through the tunnels. Gus and Bear and Big Man are heading into Essex County. Mm-hmm. And the Sings are being transported
to
somewhere.
Wherever.
I was saying last week that I thought it was too late to introduce a major character, but I have the vibe that the character that was eating the Sings Pop-Tarts.
Right.
He seems, although they did not name him, but he seems like he's...
No, I thought they said his name.
Oh, did they? Okay.
His name, I thought, like Jim or Jeffrey or something?
Maybe.
I don't know. He seems like a dude that might be willing to help them if shit goes south, if they need to make an escape. He's like the dude in... he reminds me of the dude in E.T. with the hat and glasses. That guy that like helps.
Is that Peter Coyote?
That's what I want to say. I want to say Peter Coyote. But basically, you're talking about one of the government guys who's actually more in it to like learn and help E.T. than to necessarily take over the joint and be scary. And I think he's called Keys, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he's Keys, but I think there's like Keys and Flashlight are two characters in E.T.
It's true.
Is that true? Is Flashlight one of them?
I see Keys here from the E.T., the extraterrestrial.fandom.com wiki.
Is there a character called Walkie Talkie?
This is so, well, originally he was called Guns. And yes, Keys is played by Peter Coyote. So that vindicates you there, Ryan.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm sorry, I lost track of what we were talking about. I got so distracted.
We're talking about anything.
Okay, so we're talking about that character. You think he might be sympathetic,
right?
And I get that because he doesn't seem as harsh as Abbott, and he's like willing to try to talk to the Sings,
right?
And steal their Pop-Tarts, which is a very sympathetic move. He said he hadn't seen them in a long time.
Yeah. So, yeah, there is definitely a shortage of things, but you could still find them in bulk, as we see on the train.
Toilet paper.
Pallets of candy. Toilet paper, hand sanitizer. The hand sanitizer and toilet paper thing had to be a post-pandemic
post-COVID thing. Yeah, I think that makes sense because now we know what it would look like. Right. So it informs their decisions of what to do. I will say that I saw a crate in the train that made me suspicious that maybe there might have been a hybrid kid in it, but the camera didn't linger on it. You know, it didn't do that thing where it's like, what's in here? So I think I was just jumping at shadows. but the train is where Big Man meets up with his old teammate, Jimmy Jacobs.
Oh yeah, his name was Jimmy. He was fun, sympathetic.
Yeah, definitely. And they're these big bruiser guys, and the way they meet is by wailing on each other with like giant pieces of metal, and then like 3 minutes into that fight, they're like, "Hey, I know you," and that's it. They could just put their weapons down and like they don't have to go and take a break and put some salve on their bruises or ice up their knees or something.
Getting wailed in the back of the head with like a wrench.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, we're friends. So Jimmy Jacobs was, he also played on the Guardians with Jeopard.
Right. Is this a character from the book?
Well, this is what I wanted to talk about. There is, remember at the beginning I said that in the comic, Jeff was in the NHL?
Yeah.
And he was basically like an enforcer, you know, those big bruiser guys that get in fights. That's their job.
The goon.
Yeah, exactly. The Jimmy Jacobs alternate, or what do you want to call it? The Jimmy Jacobs style character from the comic was another goon from another team.
Okay.
They tussled over the years. They knew each other. It's like they'd be spending time in the penalty box next to each other. And so that was the first time in a long time, really, where I saw something that brought me back to the comics.
He looked, his wardrobe looked very specific. And I was like, oh, he might be from like the book.
There was something about the way they... Good?
I was going to say, I didn't know if he's dressed like that in the book.
I don't remember. I do remember I took a screenshot at one point of the comic, which is a thing I do every now and then when I want to go back and look at something that I thought was, you know, cool or fun or whatever. And it was about the two of them just... They said something about like, oh, we never got to skate like this in the NHL or something like that. there was the way that character was introduced. He had his back to us. We never got a real good look at him.
Right.
Which is so funny because it's not like we've seen any of Big Man's life. It's not like we were going to recognize him.
Right.
But I guess
it was like it reminded me of like the George Lazenby introduction.
Uh-huh.
Where you see like him close up of lighting the cigarette, or you see like, you know, him in the shadows and stuff.
You don't get the full face.
And I don't know who it would have been. The only character that, holy shit, I'm okay. The only character that we've seen sort of disappear is Will Forte. So I'm like, it's not him, so...
It's not him. And so they're on the train there, and Gus loses his dog somehow.
Right.
And I know this happens a little bit later, but the fact that Big Man goes back for it, it just shows... It's a good way of showing how invested he is now in this kid.
Right.
How we went through the fairly standard arc of get away, kid.
I think it was the line because he said he would make him another one, but I think it was the line where he said, "It still smells like him."
Yeah,
that really put him over the top.
I think
Big Man was just like, "Oh, I'll just make you another one," but he's more like when he sees it, he knows he can't remake it no matter what. Mm-hmm. So when he sees it, he's like, well, shit, it's just right there. Like,
right.
It's a one-of-a-kind object to this kid. It means everything to him. Like, I feel like he would do it, like...
No, I get it. And you know what I think what makes that happen is that his conversation with Jimmy asks him about Louisa. He said, last time I saw you, Louisa was pregnant. And he lists all these other people's names. And it's... So now, for Big Man, even though some of these losses are old, they're fresh again. Right. Because someone just brought them up. So now he's more sympathetic to Gus's loss.
So do you think he had a hybrid?
I think so.
Do you think maybe that's why he sort of denounced being a last man?
Or the opposite.
That would be a good arc.
Yeah.
Or it was he had a hybrid and thinks that was responsible for his wife's death or something like that.
And so he went on a rampage against the other hybrids. I think either one of those is possible.
Yeah.
I think it's entirely possible that he had a hybrid because the way the timing sounds like it was obviously it was before the sick, but it might have been like right before. So,
right.
He did tell Gus there's no crying in the apocalypse. Right. So, you know, that's good to know.
Yeah.
But Jimmy's the one that helped them figure out that Go Grow for Birdie's address is short for Goss Grove. And right. Jimmy said it's right outside Essex City. And at the end, when they jump off the train, they're right outside Essex County.
Right.
And did you guys recognize the name Essex?
From Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise?
From the Hotel Coral Essex, that's right. No, from the preserve, the zoo that Amy's been at the whole time. The arch at the front of it says Essex.
So, I didn't get that. I did get the billboard that said zoo, so it had to be a little bit more direct for me.
Speaking of that zoo sign, there's a couple of things that I have questions about.
Go ahead.
When you're on a moving train and you say, I spy something that starts with an M, and then like that thing doesn't come into sight until, you know, 30 seconds of footage later.
I'm right. Like,
unless you're an animal with excellent eyesight, okay. Then you need to.
And what if you're a big man with who can sense rivers? Because that certainly.
That was a thing that occurred.
Yeah. Like he said,
he was like, look, Gus, we made it. And then like a minute later at train speeds. The river.
I thought there was a window or something. I thought he glanced
at it. There is, but I feel like he saw it way, way in advance.
I actually have the scene up right now.
All right.
I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of experience with trains, but the windows point sideways, not forward.
Yeah.
But also, it's like rivers make sound. Especially, yes. I'm assuming they're passing over the Colorado, right?
But you're in a train.
We're not doing Lord of the Rings rules where you can't hear anything. A giant army can sneak up on you.
There is a window. The window is low, is like chest high.
Yes.
He could be looking down through the window. It totally plays out. It's fine.
All right. Fine. Ralph won't accept it. Bear mentions her sister.
Yes.
Is it Rhino?
Which plays into my theory. From a few episodes ago. And it would have been so much better if the entire series wasn't released that I may have actually called something that wasn't already known. But
I see.
About her having a hybrid that was killed. Persecuted, and that's why she is pro animal.
I think at this point it's all but confirmed. They've been dropping little crumbs of it, but
I feel like with when you're doing a series with 8 episodes, you kinda have to just go with what they tell you and They have to sort of spell this stuff out pretty quickly.
There's no time to tease it.
Yeah, yeah.
No time for love.
So I
think
you're correct. I don't think there's any wiggle room. I think that's the case. Like they want to get the information out so that by the time the first season's done, if for some reason they don't make a second season, you have all the information there that you need.
Makes sense.
Like
So Big Man goes back for Dog, and then he gets totally busted by, 4 or 5 last men.
Yeah.
and he's trying to bluff his way through, and it's like, wait a minute, there's no gas back there. Oh, and his look of like, oh man.
Do you think, I feel like the three of them could have taken out those dudes. Bear, Jimmy, and...
yeah. And I saw Bear swipe something from the train, but I couldn't tell what it was.
She had some sort of knife or something.
It looked like a knife?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
a knife, yeah. So, yeah, I think, you know, Bear and Jimmy could have at least taken a couple of those guys.
And these last men, I mean, didn't look very big.
No.
Or armed.
Yeah.
Right. So
no shots that, fired.
But the way the story required that Jimmy stayed behind and sacrifice himself for them, although...
Yeah.
They all could have jumped.
The thing about... I know I'm not really allowed to talk, but whatever.
That's not a thing.
What do you, I don't you understand.
After every episode, I get the firm talking to that I'm not permitted to talk anymore. But
yes, and we also tell you not to mention that part.
I don't like the way that, and again, because to Ralph's point about, you know, there's only 8 episodes and you kind of have to, like, you know, short things up. But it's just like, hi, you've known me for 5 minutes and all the information I'm going to give you is that I'm expendable. Right. I can't remember things anymore. And my brain is fuzzy, so I don't deserve to live anymore.
I might as well die because I'm...
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I feel like, like, I hate those reasons why they set up that it was his time to go, because it wasn't. Like,
no.
It's pretty ableist. Yeah.
It would have been cool. He seems like he was working on the train, knew the train, probably could have unhooked the caboose.
Right.
And made an exit that way.
Maybe they just want to clutter the party that, you know, they don't want to clutter up Gus's party with another person. He's already got a bruiser. He doesn't need another one. Yeah. They need like a cleric or a... I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm bluffing. I don't know that game. To be honest, I didn't... Speaking of bluffing, Dr. Singh and Ms. Singh bluffed Abbott on the book. Like, he knows all the molecules and the atoms that have to go in between those things, so you need him. Right. Okay.
I thought the twist was going to be Abbott is trying to prevent the cure. Or something.
Oh. I still don't know, though, like, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, so if you want the cure, you got to keep me alive. And then she just pulls out a gun.
It's like,
good. Want the cure.
Kaboom. I didn't think that the Singh storyline was all that compelling this week.
No.
Right. Yeah, but I did get excited at the finale of that storyline. Because that horse is going to go out and kick all kinds of people. I'm ready. I'm here for it.
Just you wait. The final half hour of the season is just a horse rampage.
It's going to take out Abbott.
It's going to have the horse in a hallway like a Marvel TV series.
Episode 8, Nay Abbott. Nay Abbott. And okay, just from off screen comes a foot.
A horse,
but I guess I said,
yeah, a horse, but
right.
Listen,
to clarify,
why though? Why does it need a name?
I don't know.
It doesn't need a name. It's the horse foot, rabbit half feet.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
But it's not a foot. It's a weird, like, thick nail or whatever.
Yeah, but that's just part of its foot. Like, its foot rests on that. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we need a spin-off podcast to talk about
the parts of a horse.
Animal anatomy.
If a horse,
I'm going to assume a mule
sure.
doesn't have a foot, then how is it allowed to play football?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a good point.
Speak for yourself, moron.
Did you guys watch BoJack Horseman?
No. I tried.
Just a couple episodes.
There's an arc in one season where BoJack's trying to do a line on a show, and the line is, "What are you doing here?" It's in a movie, I think. And he's just supposed to say it, like, "What are you doing here?" But he is just so up in his head about it that he's doing it all kinds of wacky ways, like, "What are you doing here?" And then for the rest of the season, that phrase pops up, in a variety of different ways, like organically, that the character says, with a lot of different motivations. That's what Ralph made me think of right now with, like, speak for yourself, moron. Like, to change it. Oh. Anyhow, that's what that made me think of.
Speaking of toenails.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember a couple episodes ago, I said something mean to Ryan and then immediately hurt my foot. And he said it was karma.
Uh-huh.
So today, usually we talk about what we did the last week. Today, that toenail is no longer on my foot.
Oh.
And I'm very, it's been a very long day.
I have not had that happen to me, but I have seen it.
What is that like?
It's, so the initial impact happened when I was working at Disneyland, so it's been sort of bruised for the last 3 months, 4 months.
Is it one of those ones where the bruise is, like, moving forward underneath the nail?
Yeah, and I've been cleaning it out and stuff, and, you know, I'm, like, just... It's like when a tooth wiggles and you don't pull it, don't pull it. So it's been like that.
No.
And then today I did something where I'm like, oh, shit, it's time.
It's coming.
Yeah, I had to do it myself. It's weird, man.
I've seen that happen, my impression is... Like you said, wait until it's time. Try to grow as much of the new nail as you can before, you know, you take off the old one. So what did you end up with? Do you have anything there?
Yeah, so it's weird because I just assumed it would come out like a Wolverine claw. But it feels like there's but slowly over time. Like that direction, which is what I mean.
Right.
But it almost feels like there's a thin layer of nail on there,
right,
like halfway up, and it may grow up. If that makes sense,
it's like frost accumulating on a pond,
yeah,
rather than Wolverine sticking
his claws. Just as beautiful, visually.
Just as beautiful.
Is there any part that's just like straight up skin? Like,
yeah.
And then is that
same? It holds the shape of where the nail would fit in.
Sure, because for like over 4 decades, it's been like oppressed, so it's not gonna.
So all have this sort of idea that if the nail wasn't there, the toe would just like pop out and be perfectly round, and the nail's pushing it down.
What if you stuck your thumb in your mouth and blew, and then forced air down into your toe?
You should have tried that. Yeah.
You should have tried that. So
why don't you stick your thumb in your mouth and blow?
Is it like, how does it feel to have air on it? Is it refreshing?
It feels better than not than sort of tiptoeing around every object you walk by because you don't want to tear it off. But like, so you know when you like cut your nails like with nail clippers and then you get too close to the edge where the skin is and it hurts?
Ooh, yeah.
So it feels like that where I pulled it out today.
Okay.
It's not fun,
it's
guys.
It's not like incapacitating, but you're going to be feeling it like the whole time. It doesn't, you know, you're constantly feeling that sucks.
But so is my day.
That does not sound good.
So sweet too.
Oh yeah. Well, I think really one thing I wanted to say, I said that the Sings storyline wasn't compelling, but there was good acting in it where,
that's where I feel like a lot of times you get these episodes of TV shows where it's usually the penultimate episode sets up everything we need to know before the finale. And I feel like with this, it almost, they bumped it up an episode
to give more room for stuff to happen.
Yeah. So it's like this episode, was great. Was fine. It was a good episode of TV, but it was definitely a, let's set everything up.
Right.
For the remaining two episodes. So it wasn't as compelling. It was mostly, we need to make sure that they get from where they are now, point A to point B, and we're just going to do it here.
Yeah. Put it all in one place.
Right. I don't like the term filler, but it feels like it's like just the in-between. It's like an in-betweener. You got to fill that gap to push the story forward and get everybody on the same page and sort of where they belong. I think the most compelling story this episode was the Amy storyline. I was interested to see the other hybrids that have been hanging out at the zoo.
Yes.
There was an elephant kid, which we see the feet, but I was trying to look for an elephant trunk in the rest of the shots, but I didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm. So, they seem to all be more like Bobby than like Gus and Wendy.
Right. Do you think they're able to skate by easier because they're more animal than...
You know what? If they were, that seems like that would be easier. It would be easier to look like Bobby. Well, no. People would suss Bobby out in a second.
Well, he's wearing clothes, but I mean, but Bobby, he's so much animal that he can burrow. Like he has more attributes. Like we saw Gus was able to jump high in this one and grab that hook to get on the train. So he's got some abilities, but I feel like Bobby has like full on ready to go, like burrowing gopher stuff.
Burrowing. Like Bugs Bunny style, just
creating a burrow. But I also feel like if you saw a 4 foot tall rodent,
right,
regardless of the hybrid angle, you would shoot that fucker.
You would not enjoy that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. I think in terms of like trying to pass, or trying to escape,
right,
the animals could potentially just like pretend they're an animal.
Right.
And
there are animals.
What's it?
Oh, I was going to say there are animals. We did see zebras and giraffes and elephants and stuff.
And those are the zebras and giraffes and elephants that we saw in the city, in Essex City.
Got it.
And now they're walking around on the plains just outside of Essex County.
Got it. That
so
makes sense.
That tracks. But yeah, you're right. Amy having to send the kids off.
Yeah.
And they even discussed like why would they mark it, just like we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
Why would they put the markings on the building?
Yeah.
On the fence. So yeah. So just the acting of Dr. Singh when he was talking about how the burden of him of seeing all the sick patients. That rings true. That we've seen a lot of burnout on healthcare workers this past year. So I think that was really well done.
Yeah.
And then for me, like, I have nothing else from this episode. Like I said, my notes are short.
Yeah, I didn't take any, and I don't really, like I said, it feels like it's setting up. So I think we're in for a ride for the next two episodes. Obviously we can get Amy and Gus coming together soon.
Yes.
I don't know about the Sings and Abbott coming together.
Right. We have no idea where they are in relation to...
I mean, two more episodes left unless... I mean... So the Last Men have a wanted poster for Big Man. So if the Last Men who are going into the zoo come across Big Man at the zoo... then that'll probably flush Abbott out to go and find them. Maybe with the Sings in tow, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, like maybe that's not where he intended to take them, but he ends up doing it because...
But that wanted poster now made it so that the Last Man storyline and the Gus storyline could come together.
Right.
And then the Essex thing... made it so Amy and Gus could come together.
Gus could come together. So they're all... Yeah, that's what we think, for sure.
Right.
I'm wondering, because the next episode is called When Pubba Met Birdie, and I don't know if that means we're going to have, like, a flashback,
yes,
or maybe an extended flashback.
Are they going to cross to see this thing?
What's that?
And Lost. Remember they waited till like, the third to last episode to decide to show how things go. With the two characters you haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it means more Will Forte, cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Do you think it'll be a flashback? Do you think maybe Gus will have a dream about them meeting?
I think it'll be a flashback. Because I think so far Gus's dreams have been more about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's... what I'm picturing is Will Forte in his makeup from Gus's dream when he was a younger Pubba.
Mm-hmm.
Would make sense for that to be the character design for when he met Birdie. You know, just roll the clock back a little bit.
Right. What if she's not his mom? I'm still working under the theory that Will Forte worked with Abbott and
rescued Gus, yeah.
Maybe Birdie also worked there and helped. Also, right. That would probably put Abbott in the same place. Maybe his facility is also in that
county.
I feel like maybe the last man would have found her sooner, Amy sooner. But I'm just trying to get these three together, these three storylines to come together. They have to, right?
I think they have to.
Netflix has already said, oh, you can do a second season, we just won't announce it yet. But I don't know why they wouldn't announce it already, because I'm like, well, the finale is not for like a couple more weeks. No, the finale has already been done.
It happened weeks ago.
They can announce it.
It happened like 2 months ago.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm interested to see. Like, I don't know which I want more. Like a really nice wrap up to this story, or season two.
Because
I kind of wanted to go on, but I don't want to go too long.
I don't think there's enough room to wrap it up. Right. I don't think there's enough time, you know?
Right.
So hopefully what we get is a good ending of one arc. A good car where the steering wheel doesn't fly out of your hand.
Stinky. did you watch the Dark Crystal series?
No.
Dude. Okay. First of all, you had a Dark Crystal lunchbox.
I know.
The series is fucking phenomenal. Not a lot of episodes, but what's good is, so it didn't get picked up for a second season.
Oh.
Which is unfortunate. But the first season, when you watch through it, you say, oh, I have everything I need to know going into the movie. Like, all this backstory makes everything in the movie way more interesting. Like, it's crazy how much it elevates the movie.
That's cool.
But there was also, like, so much lore and stuff where you can, like, okay, could be a second season.
You could tell a lot of more stories with all of this, all of these tools.
Like,
but
dude, I can't recommend it enough. It might be a little too intense for the kids.
Yeah.
But, dude, it doesn't go anywhere above and beyond, like, the film.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't have the podling with the melty face.
Right.
But there is some intense stuff in there. But, like, it's, like, small things. Like, what's his name? Mark Hamill plays the scientist, Skeksis.
Uh-huh.
And it's awesome. Somewhere in the story, he loses his eye and fits himself with a mechanical eye. In the movie, that character already has a mechanical eye.
Okay.
And it's not like something where it's like, see, that's where he got the Millennium Falcon
from.
It's just
continuity.
Right. Yeah, it's not like Santa Claus is coming to town where it's like, oh, that's why the reindeer fly. It's none of that. But you watch it, and then you watch the movie after and you're like, I understand this movie completely now.
That's really cool.
It makes so much sense. Dude, it's all, I want to say that it's only like 10% CG or something like that. Netflix, when Henson came to Netflix, they started creating CG characters for the show. And Netflix was like, no, what are you doing? It's puppets.
We hired you guys.
Yeah. Dude.
We didn't hire like ILM or whatever.
It's better than the movie?
Probably. I mean, it was made a long time ago.
I can't recommend it enough. It's a really, really great show. Maybe 10 at the most episodes, 10 to 40-minute episodes.
It seems so easy to do. And, you know, I just had a moment last week where I was thinking, like, I always talk about stuff I haven't watched, and I wish I should keep a list of it because I never remember. When it's time for me to watch something, I'm like, Harley Quinn, maybe?
Great show.
Which I just barely started watching.
Great
but
show.
But I can never remember like something where it's like it's something where I say I want to watch it, but I haven't done it. So I'll have to put.
Yeah, I just got to make a list. Like I wanted to watch Avatar, The Last Airbender. I've heard nothing but good things.
I've heard great things about it.
And it's like, why am I watching blank again for the third time. Why am I watching Detroiters?
Yeah, but exactly.
I'm
watching The Good Place with my kid, and she just got to the season finale for season one.
Oh, okay.
Was her mind blown?
Yeah. Because like 12 seconds, literally 12, no, not 12 seconds, literally 12 minutes into the first episode, she turned to me and she's like, they're probably in the bad place. Look at all those things that are happening to them. Like, and I was like, oh, well, you know, whatever. And then finally, when she got to the finale, she didn't remember that at all. So she was still surprised. Oh, thank goodness.
We, Stevie watched it all. And I watched some of it. And I've heard stories about the finale, the actual finale. And Stevie was in the front room. She's like, okay, I'm going to go watch the finale. And I said, okay, I won't bother you. And I just slowly just turned down my volume and waited for it. And also, I just heard and I then the TV went silent. The show was over. And I just let her sit in there. And I'm like waiting. Just waiting for her to come in, because I'm like, I'm going to leave her alone, because apparently I don't know anything about the finale, but I hear it's quite the thing.
It's great. It's perfect.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It's perfect.
The whole show was
phenomenal. And I don't mean to set it up to be some, you know, a letdown when you finally choose to watch it, but it's like, it's as good as a finale can be.
Right.
In terms of
yeah,
maintaining the tone of the show, because I always feel like even good finales are you know, satisfying ones when you watch them. The gear shift, it's like it's so clearly not a regular episode of the rest of the series.
Right.
This 100%, it was like, oh, and it's so satisfying and good. It's like, it's only afterwards you realize like, oh, there's not going to be another one after this, because like. It does. It reaches a termination point, but it doesn't feel like so wildly out of place that you're like, this is the last episode. Right. And because I don't know, final episodes just always feel so different.
Yes, yeah, exactly. But I think what served The Good Place well in that instance is that every single episode was different. Well, not every single episode, but there were so many changes throughout the show of like, this is what we're doing now, this is what we're doing now, just changing the premise that maybe that's why it just fits in, because it's like, oh, here's another different thing we're doing.
How about this, Ben?
Yeah.
Every episode had purpose.
Word.
Every episode was... advance things and there was not like a bottle episode.
That's why they were so different.
That's why it felt different, is because what about episode 2 of Clark's the animated series?
But they're making fun of bottle episodes.
But it's still a bottle episode.
I've been rewatching Breaking Bad. Stevie's watching it for the first time. And there's one episode where I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. Here comes that episode.
The Fly?
Yes, everybody knows. It's The Fly.
Yep.
So I'm like, we start watching it, and about like 5 minutes in, Stevie goes, oh, is this the one? And I'm like, yes. I'm like, yes. And we watch it. And the thing is, it's not a bad episode. There's some good information in it. We learn a lot, and it's well done. But I realize when you're done watching it, you don't need to see it again.
Right.
It's like you have all the information you need. Directed by Rian Johnson.
Oh.
Just saying.
No.
Is there the Fly episode of Breaking Bad forum I can join?
Do you like it? Oh, because of the... Yeah, got it.
Oh, and by the way, I was just thinking, there's actually, of all six episodes of Clerks, the animated series, two of them are bottle episodes.
The one where they don't go to the mall across
the
street?
Where they don't go to the carnival, and
that's right.
There. And then the other one is really a flashback episode, but it does all take place in the freezer, so it's...
That's pretty funny. And it's like the second. It's funniest because it's the second episode.
Right.
Like when that when they unrolled that premise, it was already funny.
Yes.
This when they before they even did anything funny with it. So that's our talk on Clerks the Animated Series and Dark Crystal Age of Resistance and
Breaking Bad
and Detroiters.
Oh, do good, guys. Start your list now.
With Detroiters,
Dark Crystal. And then Dark Crystal.
Age of Resistance.
Okay. Dark Crystal is so good. Ryan.
Another time.
Oh, you'd hate it.
And it's and the thing is, that's the thing. It's I approached the Dark Crystal as, you know, a 7-year-old who loved the Muppet Show and loved the Muppet movie, and this is it, and it was just
right.
It was such an antithesis. Like, I get the art of puppetry and who Jim Henson is, but it just was like...
You're not the type of guy that would have a Brian Froud poster on your wall.
Oh, absolutely not.
So, that's like one strike. And it's, I mean, I get it. I get it. It's not for everybody, but the series is phenomenal. If you want to see amazing craftsmanship, like, it's pretty impressive.
And I think, and what you're saying, I would never have a Brian Froud poster on my wall. But I think part of that is because of the Dark Crystal, because of how much it didn't resonate with me. But hearing you describe it, I think if I went into the series, mm-hmm. which is a prequel.
Correct.
Without having being anchored in the movie and just kind of take it fresh, I might enjoy it.
Yeah. Stevie's not a fan of Dark Crystal, the movie. And loved the show. And then she said she liked the movie more based on seeing the series.
I like the movie so much. Like you said, I had a lunchbox. And I can't remember a time where I didn't like that movie. And when the series came out on Netflix, I made a Skeksy my profile picture. And, you know, but then it all comes down to the fact that, so why are you posing, poser? Watch the show then.
Right. I mean, here's the thing, like, if you have any fear of, like, oh, it's going to ruin the movie, or it's not going to feel like the movie, or any reason why, you know, you get these sort of Lego sequels and these remakes and reboots and stuff, like, this is one that 100% got it right. Like, it's awesome. It's amazing.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, so, There's
an episode, it might spoil it a little bit.
No worries.
Where Andy Samberg plays a Skeksis and Bill Hader plays a Mystic.
Oh boy.
And they are they have both left their tribes, the Skeksis and the Mystics. They're the doppelgangers or whatever you would call them.
Of each other.
And live outside of the realm peacefully with each other.
Interesting.
And
what a great way to explore that.
Phenomenal. Like,
that's a cool thing to think of. Like, you have this idea, we have these people that are half of each other, and someone really explored it. That's cool.
Yeah. And they do a bit of storytelling about sort of the history of the world. Mm-hmm. But they do it with puppetry.
So puppets using puppets?
A Mystic and a Skeksis using puppets. So the puppeteer inside the suit is actually puppeteering smaller puppets.
That's deviant. That's against God.
And it's like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
That's cool.
Like when Daffy Duck would be the or Bugs Bunny was the animator and was tormenting Daffy Duck.
Right.
It's like right. that. I bet.
Probably.
Or Joe Pitka. Drawing Bugs Bunny. Alrighty. Darmlars.net.
All right.
At Darmlars everywhere, including Instagram. And then, next week's episode is?
When Pubba Met Birdie.
Cool. Sounds good. We get it, birdies. She's going to be tied up under an umbrella. A hybrid's going to be pulling her strings.
How I Met Your Birdie. Hybrid kids?
A little later.
All right. Yeah. Well, bye, guys.
Recording stopped.
There it is. See you guys next time.